Well, we have special guests with us today, our graduating seniors. So I want you to know that they were at one time where you sat, long time ago, at least, what, 15 years ago, something like that? Yeah. So, well, let's see what our lesson is. And by the way, I gave this to one of the seniors, so it's no telling what we've got today. Okay, so we have a box. A box. Then an... Okay, hold on. I want you to think about something. How many of you were surprised when this opened up? Yeah. And that's the thing. Hold on. Okay, listen. Let's not pay attention to the things up here. Up here. So when we are traveling in life, to you graduating seniors especially, you're going to come across surprises. And it's not the surprise itself that defines you. It's how you react to that surprise that defines you. And when you have walked with God and you keep in step with His Spirit, even when the surprise is difficult or good, you can still rejoice knowing that you have the strength to endure whatever it is. Okay? So just remember that eternal life is knowing God. So build your relationship now so that when we leave this earth, and little ones, I want you to come to know God. I want you to stress to mom and dad, grandpa and grandma, the importance of knowing God and what that means. Can you do that for me?
Yes.
All right. So, all right, my little friends, I want us to take a book. Hold on.
You're messy.
Yes, I'm a mess. But we're going to leave it for Mr. Watson to clean up later. So, all right, take a book. Take a book, and I want you to, nope, hold on. I want you to take a book and give it to one of our seniors. Can we do that? Now, I won't have enough for everybody, so. All right, find a senior and give it, turn around, the ones that are right here. Okay, we have more books than necessary, Grady. Is that normal? Okay, you only get one book. All right. All right. If they already have a book, give me the rest of the books. I didn't realize he was going to. So, on the count of three, little friends, let's look to the seniors. On the count of three, we want to say congratulations. Can we do that? One, two, three. Congratulations. All right. So, I'm going to give this box to Max. And I've asked Stryker to lead us in prayer. So let's go ahead and have our seats. Little friends, those of you that are standing in the back, are we looking? Let's say our prayer. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the day you have blessed us. Please be with the seniors as they grow closer to you. Please help people come out the hospital ready to spread your word. In Jesus we pray, amen.
Amen.
Hey kids, it's Miss Angela. It's now time for Children's Bible Hour. I'd like to invite all three-year-olds through second grade to exit behind the stage. Let's go!
Has anybody in here been blessed by God this week? Amen. Okay, then when we stand, use that blessing that God's blessed you with to bless somebody else. Welcome them, love them, encourage them. Let's take 3 minutes and do that right now.
Good morning, church. Our scripture reading for today is from Revelation 3, verses 14 through 22. This will be the English Standard Version. It's to the church in Laodicea. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourselves and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. To those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Good morning, everyone. Graduates, seniors, it's your day. It's always an emotional day for everyone, you know. But it's a special day, and it should be. Today is, and your graduation in general, it's a really special day. And, you know, we're here to celebrate a group of seniors and a group of, you know, teenagers. For a lot of them have grown up here. A big part of their life is this church and this congregation. And a lot of people in this church have had the privilege to watch you guys grow, and that's an incredible experience. And so graduation isn't the end of something. It's the beginning of something completely new and something super exciting. You're beginning into a new season. You're stepping into a world of decisions, and that can feel exciting, but that can feel really overwhelming. I feel like the verse that constantly comes up during graduation is Jeremiah 29:11. That we're reminded that God has plans for us, and God has plans for each and every single one of you, and even beyond. And it means that God is present every single step, even though we may not understand what He's doing. And for parents, just hold on to these moments. Thank you so much, parents. You guys have sacrificed so much to get your child to this point, and now it's time for them to take on their faith and into their own lives, and that's super exciting. Thank you so much. Your influence isn't over, it's just shifting. So, seniors, wherever you guys do, be great. Just keep walking with God, one step at a time, and please stand as we sing. I'm just kidding. you wish. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's great. I'm super excited for you. I know that all of you are going to do incredible things. I love Senior Sunday. I think that it's an incredible time of year to recognize some important people in this church. And when I was a senior, there was only two of us, and so I got a lot of money. And so, no, only the important things. But no, it's incredible. And you guys are going to experience some crazy things. So I actually have a game for us today. Want to start out with something super fun. So college is interesting, and they have interesting classes. And so I have some classes that colleges give, and you guys have to tell me if they're true or false. So the first one is the history of Chick-fil-A, Atlanta Business Institute. So real or fake? What do you guys think? Gene hopes it's real. It's fake. I'm sorry. TikTok philosophy, Cambridge University, right? Real or fake? That seems pretty legit. Not really. It's fake. Okay. Japanese swordsmanship. Now that is cool. That is awesome. George Washington University. I feel like that just kind of lines up. Imagine George Washington with a Japanese sword instead of, you know. It's real. So, no, you can. The science of superheroes. Gene's also saying, please be real. If you guys have been to Trunk or Treat, you know. It is real. It is real. Very good. Science of superheroes. Isn't that awesome? Superheroes are real. His name is Jesus. Street fighting mathematics. Here we go. That's real. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. The physics of cornhole. That one's fake. That one's fake. The joy of garbage. Santa Clara University. That's real. That's real. You never know what to expect. I only have a 2-year-old, almost 3-year-old, so I don't really know. I know parents, it's really hard, so I figured I'd help you parents out. I went ahead and asked ChatGPT to help you guys with your senior moving on. So they gave us some tips. You can't really read it that well, but it says, let it be bittersweet. Update your rule. Don't erase it. Stay connected. Couple more. Focus on what opens up. Capture the moment. Expect a little bit of emotional dip after the excitement. So parents, I got you. Don't worry. But I decided that wasn't good enough. So I said, this is Grady's guide to emotional transition. So parents, to your seniors, just rebrand the situation. Just know that they're not leaving. They're just expanding your franchise. You know, you're basically the founder of a startup that is just opening a new location, so you're good. Focus on the perks. Your house will be a lot quieter. There you go. Your snacks will last more than 24 hours. No more hearing what's for dinner like it's a legally required question. Remember, they will be back. Oh, they'll be back for laundry, for food, for emotional support, for that one charger that they swear is theirs. It's less of a goodbye and more of a see you in 2 to 3 business days. So you're good. A couple more. You get to upgrade your role. You're no longer a constant supervisor. You're now a wise consultant, an occasional bank, tech support. It's a promotion. It's really a promotion. And let yourself be dramatic. This is for the mothers. Just let it happen. Like you earned this, you know, sigh. Say, I remember when you were this big. Time just flies. Don't forget about me when you're famous, you know. Milk it. You enjoy it. You've earned it. And the final truth is you're not losing them. You're just switching from daily episodes to a slightly chaotic spinoff series. Okay? So that's good. That's good stuff. So parents, just remember that. That's from the advice of someone who has a insane 3-year-old right now. So it's good. Graduation's great. It's all good things. Let's see here. There we go. Whoop. And so as I'm going into what I wanted to talk about today, I wanted to apply it to something that comes to the seniors, but also to the rest of the church. And we're talking about a faith that Jesus rejects. So many of kids your age, seniors your age, after they leave, they don't come back. And that's kind of it for their experience in church. And a lot of that, I kind of feel like, one, it's up to you now, like kind of have to take faith as our own. And two, it's really easy to be complacent. Like we find ourselves being really complacent, especially in college. Like it's you can be super, super busy. And in college and, you know, after high school, whether you're working, whether you're going, getting, not obviously not just college, I just keep saying that because the classes are on my mind. But you can get I don't know. I wouldn't say complacent, but you ever feel like you're just kind of coasting, right? You're not necessarily running away from God, but you're not necessarily running towards Him either. You're not really passionate about your faith. It's more like you show up, you say the right things, but deep down, like our faith feels stuck. And I feel like not just seniors and teenagers experience that, but that's a super real thing for everyone else as well. It's just kind of feeling stuck in our faith, feeling like we're not hot, but we're not cold. We're just kind of lukewarm in the middle. But here's the thing. Faith isn't meant to be neutral. Faith isn't meant to be something that we just kind of can turn on whenever we want it to, because the truth is when we're not moving towards Christ, when we're not moving towards Him in our faith, we're just slowly drifting away from Him. Jesus Christ, the Spirit, they never move. We're the ones that move. Jesus invites us into something so much deeper than that, and that's what I want us to experience. And so today we're going to be talking about a book in Revelation. And so if you guys would, we're going to be in this scripture, the scripture that Rick just read for us. That's where we're going to be the rest of the day. And Revelation, you guys know, it's a super intense book. Like there's dragons and beasts and plagues. It's kind of like Lord of the Rings rather than like your average devotional, but it's super cool. So check out Revelation, obviously. But also, it's more of that. Revelation isn't meant to scare us. It's also, I'm honestly, Revelation at its core is a book of hope. It's meant to be the picture into what we can be excited and what we can waiting for. No matter how hard things get, for us to understand that God is the one in control. And tucked into Revelation is these letters and imagery and intensity is these series of personal letters, Jesus writing to these churches. So these words, and today we're going to talk about to a church in Laodicea, of advice and real words that Jesus said. So now usually getting mail is super exciting. Like I know that whenever I get a letter and it's like handwritten, I'm like, oh, little old me, you know. It's not as common anymore. Usually I'm getting emails. And a lot of you have gotten emails from me the past couple of days because my email got hacked. So don't respond to that one. But personal mail is awesome. But the one we're looking at today is a little more of a gut punch. The church in Laodicea, they needed their eyes opened, and this is exactly what this letter is. Jesus didn't hold back. He told a lot of the people of Laodicea the harsh truth, and he made it very well known in these verses. So if you guys would, open up here. We're going to start in 14 through 16. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold or hot. I wish that you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. So that's a pretty intense passage. Like that's Jesus saying to this group of people, hey, I want to spit you out of my mouth. And imagine reading that and be like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Like that's a hard thing to comprehend. That's really strong language. But to really feel the weight of it, let's kind of understand the context. So Laodicea, it wasn't just some town. Like this was like the Manhattan. It's like the Beverly Hills of the ancient world. The Laodiceans were super wealthy and super powerful. They were known for three things, that being money, medicine, and fashion. They had this super sleek black wool that they would wear that was very designer and certainly a status symbol. They had this medicine. They were known for this eye cream that supposedly cured blindness. And they had a lot of money, and they were proud of it too. So get this, there was actually an earthquake that took out Laodicea. You can kind of see the ruins of Laodicea here. This is a depiction of what it probably looked like in the black garments. And Rome reached out to Laodicea, and they're like, hey, like we would love to help you out. And Laodicea told Rome, nah, we got this. Like, we're good. And that's what they stood on. And so archaeologists have went into Laodicea and found these coins. And on these coins, it basically says, we did it ourselves. That's like the encryption of what it says on these coins. And so this was the mindset the Laodiceans have, that they didn't have to worry about anything. And so what did Jesus say to this super powerful, all put together city? He didn't applaud them. No, he looked at these people who, in their own eyes, were above everyone else and said, hey, I want to spit you out of my mouth. And so that's really intense. Like that certainly made these people take a step back. And why? It's because they were lukewarm. And that really hit home in Laodicea. So when I think of lukewarm water today, this was always like a hard concept for me because I prefer room temperature water. I get brain freeze really easily. So if it's ice cold, like I'm not getting hydrated the right way. So lukewarm, that's perfect for me. And so I was like, why is my favorite water a bad thing? Well, this is why it's a bad thing. And so Laodicea was kind of right in the middle or away from these two cities. So Hierapolis and Colossae, these two cities actually had water that was desirable. So Hierapolis had hot springs that were meant to be healing, and people would go there and be healed through their water. And Colossae had cold water, and it was fresh drinking water. And Laodicea, they didn't have access to either of that. And so they had these pipes. These are the remnants of these pipes, and the water would be piped in for miles and miles and miles to their city, which I have no idea how they made pipes back then. I'm just actually really impressed. But think about the water traveling for miles in these stone pipes, gathering up minerals, gathering up water. And so by the time it got to Laodicea, it was disgusting. It was filled and it was dirty. It was absolutely useless. And this is the image that whenever they said lukewarm water, this is the image that the Laodiceans had on their heads, so it hits a lot closer to home. And Jesus is saying their faith had become like their water. It'd become complacent. It'd become useless. It'd become lacking in spirit. And so whenever he says, look, you're lukewarm, I want to spit you out of my mouth, they're like, oh, like, we know what that's like. We know what gross water is. We certainly do not want to be that. Continuing in Revelation 17 and 18, you say that I am rich. Sorry, one more time. You say that, goodness gracious, I apologize. You say I'm rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire so that you can become rich and white clothes to wear. You can cover your shameful nakedness and slave to put on your eyes so you can see. So let's break this down. Jesus is calling out all of their blind spots. The Laodicean church thought that they had it all. So they thought they had money. They thought that they had health. They thought that they had great clothing. And Jesus is like, basically, you're missing everything that you need. There's nothing that you feel like you have that is actually feeding you. He's using their self-image, and he's completely flipping it upside down. So he's like, hey, you have eye cream that heals blindness? No, you're actually blind. You think you have super nice, sleek, black clothes? No, you're actually naked. You think that you're rich? You're poor. They thought that they were above everything, and Jesus says, no, that's not it at all. Jesus is telling them, don't miss the point. Come to me for what you truly need. I can offer you something that is so much more than what you think you are giving yourself, and I can make your cup overflow. But don't miss this, right? Jesus isn't just roasting them to make them feel bad. He's rebuking them. It's tough love. Don't pursue the world. Whoops. Don't pursue the world. Sorry. Don't pursue the world. Come to me, and I will give you what's truly valuable. Come to me for gold that's been refined. Come to me for faith that has been tested. Cover your shame with my righteousness, not your reputation. And it's just this conversation that he's having with them. He's showing them all of their weaknesses that they think are strengths and telling them, look, you need so much more than you think. The heart of Jesus is not to shame, but it's to rescue them. He calls out the things that we don't even see and allows us to fill all of those holes with him. And that's incredible. So, Ethan, Gavin, can you guys come up here and help me out with this? So, I have an object lesson. I did this last year. Figured I'd just continue the trend. So, Jesus' heart is on full display. Moving on to verses 19 and 20, it says that those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they will eat with me. So this is Jesus' heart on full display. He's not yelling at them. You guys can stand closer to the table. You're very proper. their heart is on full display. So even after all of their pride and pretending their spiritual distance, Jesus is still desiring a relationship with them. He's using this tough love and this, again, like rebuking. He's saying, those who I rebuke and discipline, I love you for it. And he's using this tough love. And it's hard for us to understand because our idea of love is so much different. We can't understand God's love. So I have this illustration to help you, all right? Excuse me. We'll go right here. So I have this bucket right here, and this bucket represents our love, all right? So printed it out, taped it myself. That's our love, all right? And this sponge represents our life, okay? So our love, our life, and you see these two glasses. These glasses represent the people who are important in our lives, okay? So it could be your parents. It could be your siblings. It could be your boyfriend or girlfriend. Or let's move on. So it could be... These are the important people in your life, okay? So that's what that is. And so here's what I want you to do, Ethan, all right? I want you to get this sponge. I want you to get all the water out of here, and I want you to fill up this glass, okay? So wring it out as tight as you can. Use your muscles and get all of the water out of there. Fill up that glass and pour it in there. There you go. I put up towels. We already have one mess to clean up, so don't need to. So keep going. There you go. There's still some more water in there. Go ahead. You're not really filling it up that fast, though, but it's okay. Good. There we go. You got it. There's still more in there. You come on. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. That's good. That's good. And so in this bucket, he got just about everything out of there, everything that he could, and he's squeezing it in there. And I didn't fill up this bucket all the way because, I mean, think about it. We're not all the way love, right? Like, humans in general can't be 100% love. There's so much in our lives other than love, right? So it's greed, right? You look at the church in Laodicea, there's greed, there's power, there's wealth, there's medicine, there's all of these things that is so much more. And so if we're looking at our love and we're looking at our life and we pour the water in this glass, it doesn't even, it's almost halfway and it's not there. And because our love can't, just by ourselves, can't be sufficient for everybody in our lives. And so I have one more thing, all right, to kind of, I'm still here, don't worry, to represent. So this is God's love, all right? A little bit different, okay? So Gavin, can you please fill up your cup? This one may be a little bit easier, not sure. This is a lot faster. This is more like it. It's okay. I put towels out for a reason. You make a mess, fill it up, get it all over the place. There we go. That's good. Now fill up Ethan's cup while you're at it. You know. Yeah, that's more like it. That's good. Here, fill up our cup too. Yeah. There's plenty of water in there. And he can just go back and back and back, and he can get as much water as he possibly wants, and it can overflow, and it can spill all over the table, and he's never going to run out of water. There's so much more water than there is to hold in these glasses and in this bucket. Why? Because God's love is so much more than we could possibly imagine. And so when we're looking at ourselves and we're looking at our life, and it's like, you know, I'm too tired to constantly give love to everybody in our lives. It's easy for us to be complacent whenever we're relying on ourselves. Drink that for me. I'm just kidding. It's easy to be complacent and feel half full, to feel almost empty, to feel like we're running on not a lot because we're not allowing God to overflow our cup. So you guys are good. You can step off. So thank you guys for that and in that image. Very good. Yeah, round of applause. And so while Jesus is rebuking these people and Jesus is telling them over and over, look, like, my love is so much more than you could even remotely comprehend. It's so much more than you could ever give to anyone. So if you're worried about everything that you have in life, like, your cup is empty. And I can give you so much more. So Jesus comes back with this beautiful image here in 19 and 20. So here I am standing at the door. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person. And they with me. So you can just see this image. Jesus is standing at the door and knocking. He's not breaking it down. He's not forcing his way in. But he's waiting patiently, lovingly, gently. And for you to open the door, and when you do, He comes in and he sits with you to be close, to share a life. That's not religion. That's relationship. That's who Jesus is. He wants so much more than what we could possibly offer. And so all the things of this world, whether it's money, power, medicine, all of these things that these Laodiceans have, all the things that we have in this life, God wants so, can give us so much more than that. He wants a genuine relationship with us. Let's finish the passage. To the one, Revelation 3, 21 and 22, to the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the other churches. The invitation here is to share in Christ's victory and authority with him on the throne. Forever, this is someone who wants a relationship, an intimate purpose for us to have. And he ends this with, whoever has ears, let them hear. It's a call to just pay attention. I gave you ears, I've blessed you with all that. Listen to me. But again, like, we obviously can all hear, but take it a step further. He doesn't want us to listen with our ears. He wants us to listen with our hearts. This isn't just a word for the early church. This isn't just a word for Laodicea. It's a word for us right now. So what does it look like to truly listen and to truly live this way, to where we're allowing God to completely overflow us with something that's so much better? Let's start by getting honest, right? Let's getting honest in our faith. Are you lukewarm? Is my question for you today. Do you find yourself not necessarily running from God, but not running towards him either? If that's where you find yourself, don't ignore it. Don't push yourself or pretend that you have this amazing faith. When we don't, be honest. And Jesus isn't calling us out to shame you. He's calling us back to restore us. He doesn't want us to settle for a lukewarm life. He's inviting us into something real, into something deep, into something alive. So what do we do with this? We turn to the source. We come to Jesus. We say, look, I'm far away from you, Jesus, and I need you. Lord, I've drifted. Lord, I've settled. Lord, I don't feel you right now, and I want that relationship with you. Allow me to come back to you. I want you at the center of my life. And that's what repentance really is. It's not just saying sorry, but choosing to turn around and choosing to take those steps back to him. And there's great news. Like, you don't have to walk with him alone. And so, you know, my advice to seniors, my advice to parents, my advice to grandparents, to children, to everyone in here is to not take on this walk of life, this journey of faith. Don't take it on alone, because we as humans aren't designed to walk through life alone. That's how we find ourselves in a lukewarm life. The devil wants us to be distracted. He wants us to be alone. He wants us to be separate from other Christians. And that's how he gets us. Surround yourself with people who stir your faith. Surround yourself with people who challenge you. Go to places where spiritual conversations happen. Volunteer in church. Get plugged in the community. And go where you're encouraged to pursue Jesus. Because faith is never meant to be a solo journey. Again, Jesus doesn't want us to settle for a lukewarm life. He's inviting us to something real and to something alive. As we end today, and as you guys continue on your journeys and go through the rest of the day, if you are feeling lukewarm, if you are at a place in life that feels, I don't know, neutral, if you're not going in either direction, God is calling you back into a relationship with him. He obviously has so much love to spare, and he wants to use it on you. And so if that is you, I encourage you to come today and stand and sing.
Thank you, Grady. You know, it's important to remember that it's not our evaluation of ourselves that matters, but us compared to God's Word and what He values that matters. Several prayer requests. This morning, Tyler Smith came forward and asked us to pray for his mother, Brenda. They found a quickly growing mass in her lungs.